I've been preaching a few years now, but I've never, Pastor Lawson, gone over being just nervous as I can be before I open the Word of God. And I remember when I was a younger preacher, Janice would travel with me different places and preach, and she didn't know it. She settled her daddy down a whole lot when she did that for me. And now it's a blessing to see my grandchildren standing up with her and preaching. So God's been good to me. Now, I enjoyed the service this morning, didn't you?
Amen.
Enjoyed the Word of God, enjoyed the Lord being present. You could feel Him. I'm glad that there are still places where you can go where you can feel the Lord. It's not everywhere. I preach places where I thought I'm shooting and it's hitting the ceiling. It's not coming back down. I thought I better load them up all I can before I leave because we're not having much liberty. But I'm thankful there's liberty here to preach the Word of God. Now, I want to be a help to you tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to preach. I don't. I don't have any style. I don't have any training. I just got called by the Lord, sat down at the kitchen table, and finally accepted it after giving more excuses than Moses ever could come up with. And he made me a promise. He said, if you'll stand, I'll preach. And I've taken him at that promise, and I said, I can do that. And so you pray. I need your prayers that I'll give something out that'll be a help to you. So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we'll read verse number 13 and we'll pray and ask the Lord to give us what He has for us tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, we bow in your presence tonight, Lord. We're thankful for your precious word. We're thankful, God, for the privilege to stand tonight and to open it. Now, God, tonight I need your help. God, I want to be able to help feed your people, but I can't do that without you, blessed Holy Spirit. Now, I ask that you clothe me in that calling you gave me so long ago. We would see your Son once again lifted up high and glorified where He belongs. And we ask it in the precious, holy, righteous, sweet name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, folks, I believe, there's some people maybe don't believe it, or I've talked to some that believe we're in it now, but I believe we're living in the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to get His church, the bride. I believe it's inevitable. I believe it's just at the very crux of just taking us over that last little hump, and we're going to hear a shout and the voice of the trump angel, the trump of God, and we're going to hear, come up hither. We're going to leave this place. I believe that. I believe this time that we're living in is one of the most exciting times that a Christian could live in. But I also see and know that it's also one of the most dangerous times that a Christian could be living in. You see, we've got two choices as children of God. We either finish this thing, bring a glory to His name, wide open and putting everything we got into it, or we're going to leave this place doing less than what He deserves. I don't know about you, but I decided a long time ago, not because I'm just so strong or anything, but because of what Jesus did for me. Taking an ignorant, self-righteous, angry young man and telling him that he loved him and saving him and then calling me to open up his word and to feed his people, I've decided I'm going to give Jesus the best that I can do. But there's some things we got to watch out for. You know, we can finish in honoring Him, or we can finish it poorly. And I never did like anything that I did to be poor, did you? I wanted the best it could be. Now, you see, Satan, the enemy of God, and by the way, the enemy of you, God's people, realizes that we're at that last stage, that we're getting close for it. And what he is doing now, he's trying everything he can to confuse you, to overwhelm you, to stop your witnessing, to destroy your testimony. He's doing everything he can to hinder you now that you're just about to get to the finish line with this. And so we need to watch some things. Now, I'll tell you, I look at people. I mean, everywhere I go, I just like to see them. They're not all pretty, but they're all interesting, amen? I like to watch how their eyes are looking. I like to watch how they're sitting. I like to watch if they listen closer, if they don't. I like to watch people, but I'm going to tell you something that has disturbed me, that has made me uncomfortable for the last, I guess, 3 years, and that is, quite frankly, that there's a lot of folks who are saved. They say they're saved. They say they're born again. They say they have been redeemed by the precious blood of the precious Son of God. They say that they are precious and in Him, and they've trusted in the Lord Savior. But you know what happens? It doesn't show in their faces. Doesn't look like. Brother Sam, you ever look at people and they say, tell you they're saved? They say, I can tell you when I was born again. Sure. Yes, I've trusted in the Lord. But you look at them and they look like they're the most miserable people that's ever walked the face of the earth. And then they have the audacity to go to a lost person and tell that lost person, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I don't know about you. I had a lot of them tell me that before I got born again. I thought, my goodness, if he did that for you, I don't need it. I need to stay as far away from that as I can get. I can at least smile once in a while. You see, it doesn't show. Oh, I believe they're saved. I really do. I really do. But you know what the problem is? People can't see it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. They must see it to want it. They got to see that you've got some joy and you've got something different and you've got something that they don't understand. And if they don't see it, if they don't see Christ in you, then they're not going to want anything to do with salvation. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe, I pondered on that, Pastor. I pondered on it and I pondered on it. I thought, what is wrong? I tell you what, I have never gotten over being born again. To think that I was headed straight to hell faster than a bullet out of the muzzle of a pistol, and God chose to look down at me and tell me He loved me and have His Holy Spirit point me to the answer to my problem and let me be born again, I've never gotten over it. How about you? I'm going to tell you the honest truth, folks. We come here and we had some pretty singing. We had some good handshaking. But when I first got up behind here, unless I told a joke, I didn't see a lot of happy-looking faces. You say, don't judge, brother. I didn't judge. I just took a picture and gave you what I seen. How about you? Have you gotten over being born again? Have you gotten over being saved? It's imperative, if we're going to finish this thing well, if we're going to cross the finish line doing what God called us to do. He didn't have a second plan, you know, we're it. It's imperative that they see it, not only in our talk, but in our walk and in our lives. And they look at us, by the way, when we're up on the mountaintop and when we're down in the valley. We need to do that. I began to think on the problem, and I thought, Lord, what in the world is the problem? And I believe God gave me an answer. This is the problem. Are people saved? Yes. Are they born again? Yes. Do they love Jesus? Yes. But you know what the problem is? Attitude. Now, I bounce words off my wife Brother Sam, I don't know whether you do, but I do. We'll be driving down the road, and I was filling her out yesterday. I said, what's your definition of attitude? And she always gives me that look. Always gives me that look. I said, I want to know what your attitude is. And she gave it to me. And I said, it's all right for you to tell me what you think. I said, you can help me with the message. You just can't preach it. I said, I can take all the help I can get. And so she gave me here. I believe God gave the answer. It comes down to attitude. My beloved, if our attitude is wrong, it will influence our spiritual altitude. Amen? How far you can get up above this world, how spiritual you can be, depends on your attitude. What goes in here influences your attitude. What you believe, what you think it is, influences your attitude, and you're either going to be spiritually just skimming the ground, or you'll be going up in there into the air to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and God will see it then. Attitude, bad attitude. Listen, attitude can be right or it can be wrong. It can. It will limit you spiritually or it'll fill you full, your attitude. Now, once you are saved or born again, our attitude has more to do with our Christian life, I believe, than anything else. You say, well, I thought it was studying the Word of God. Wrong attitude, you won't do that. Amen. I thought it was about praying, preacher. Wrong attitude, you won't do that. Yeah. I thought it was about living right. Wrong attitude, you won't do that. It all comes down to a little word called attitude that will limit what you can do to God. Now, I believe it's more important than our circumstances, don't you? Circumstances can change. You can have a bad set of circumstances right now, and tomorrow things might go your way and you've got good circumstances. I believe it has more to do with our Christian walk than our needs. Hey, you need a little something else? You can do like the old people do. You can always pour a little more water in the soup pot, can't you? There's always a way to get around that. It's more important than how people treat us, Brother Tony. Everybody don't treat you good, do they? That don't give you a reason to have a bad attitude. If God's people get rid of the bad attitudes, they won't pay attention when somebody accidentally hurts their feelings or rubs their fur the wrong way or says something out of the ordinary they didn't even know that they were doing. We wouldn't pay any attention to it. I know one thing I found out, you have to be thick-skinned if you're going to be a preacher, don't you? You do. I guarantee you I've been had more for Sunday lunch than fried chicken, I guarantee it. I promise you I have. But I don't really care. I care about what God thinks.
Right.
Now, if it's more important than all those things, oh, by the way, including our health, it's more important than health. I didn't have good health until about a year ago, Pastor Lawson. When I got Parkinson, God told me, he said, you're going to preach a long message, maybe the longest one you've ever preached. And for 8 years, I had to stand behind the pulpit with sometimes a little wiping drool off my face and stuff and preach the Word of God. But guess what? He touched me. But the health didn't take away the attitude that I wanted to serve God. You see, your health's not a reason to have a poor attitude about the things of God and to not finish the line wide open. It's not any reason. Now, I looked up Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. Yeah, I may mispronounce this. I want to know words when I look them up. I look up words all the time. And I looked up what the Hebrew word for attitude was. It's gisha. I don't know if that's right, Brother Lawson, but that's as close as I can get to it if it is. It means a mindset. Your mindset on that. It means a stance and an opinion or a mental position. I like this part, the last one. A settled way at looking at something. I don't know about you. I have a settled way of looking at it. Jesus paid a price for me. Jesus called me. Jesus has kept me here. And I have a firm belief in my mind that I'm going to finish it no matter what comes my way. How about you? How about you? Our attitude has a lot to do with how much Satan can get into our minds. Do you know that? You get a poor attitude, you get your feelings hurt. Or you get away from fellowship with the Lord a little while. You know what you just did? You just opened up your mind to give the devil an inway into it. Because you got an attitude that I can just coast through this thing. It's almost over. I'll just hang on right here. No, I'm giving the attitude. An attitude has a lot to do with how much Satan can get to you. And I assure you, I'm going to tell you this. Once you give the devil, through a bad attitude, a chance to get into your mind, you know what he'll do? He'll take about a 6-foot stake and he'll drive it into the ground and he'll latch himself to it. And before you know it, he'll build himself a stronghold in your mind and your thoughts, and he'll ruin your Christian life. When he does that, when he gets in there and he drives up the stake because of your poor attitude and he gets him a stronghold, he'll make your life a living hell as a Christian. I don't know why there ain't no joy in some Christian's life. I'm not saying everybody. If they got an attitude, they're going coast.
Yes, that's right, man.
He said, this is what I've been waiting for. Yep. He sets the stake, takes about a 16-pound spiritual sledgehammer, and goes to hitting until he drives it to where you can't hardly get it out of the ground and latches himself to it.
You're right. Amen, preacher.
Now you listen, I'm trying to help you. Yes. I'm trying to help you.
Come on.
I assure you, once he gets in your mind, he'll immediately get himself a stronghold. That's why the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:13 said what? Gird up the loins of your mind.
That's right.
If you think you're a whipped Christian, you're a whipped Christian. If you think God don't love you, he might as well not love you. You're not going to think he does. If you think that you're going to just coast through this thing and it's just going to come to an end, find you sitting there ready to meet the Lord in the air, we forget about something called the Bema Seat.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to the Bema Seat with the devil still trying to hang on to me with the stronghold he had when God calls me out of here.
Amen.
I don't want that. You know what? When Peter said that, he knew what he's talking about, didn't he? He got the wrong attitude, didn't he? He got by the devil's fire, didn't he? He was far, far away from the Lord. And the devil took advantage of that. And he caused him to fall. Amen? Are you stronger than Peter? I don't think so. I don't think so. Once Satan gets a stronghold in your mind, he'll make your life a living hell. Now, folks, without the right attitude, you can't be right with God. Do you know that?
Amen.
If you don't trust him, if you don't trust his word and trust what he said, if you don't believe it, how can you be right with him? Whenever you don't believe the word of God or accept the word of God as the truth that God shows you in his word, then what you did, you said, I'm the authority now. I don't trust you.
Amen, brother. Come on.
You tell me how you can be right with God when you're saying, I've got this. I'll take over now. I don't know where people think they're smart enough to correct God. I'll tell you what I do. If it says it, I read it, I accept it, and I say, Lord, show me something from it. That's how I approach it. I don't go with it. Well, you might mean something else here. No. He meant exactly what he said. I'll tell you something else. Without God, you can't live right, but you can't walk right. You say, I want to walk with God. Get your attitude straightened up. Take this blessed book right here. Stick your nose in it. Bury it. Pray over it. Absorb it. Get ink poison if you will. But make sure you believe what his word says. Without right ahead of you, you can't successfully do the work of God. Brother Lawson, you ever tried to correct God? I guarantee you one thing, you wouldn't have no liberty to preach the word of God. These preachers want to correct him. We get excited, we get worked up. But there will be no truth enter into the heart if you correct the Word of God.
That's right.
Once he gets a hold on you and you get the wrong attitude, you know what you'll do first thing? Stop reading the Word of God. Brother Barry, when I was the interim pastor up at Union Chapel, you've been my pastor a long time, and I fed off of you. And we decided to go visit. You know what happened? I talked to people, and they'd say, "Oh, I'm saved." And I'd look over, and there'd be a Bible so dusty, I wouldn't have been afraid to flick it. I'm afraid it'd set off my sinuses and stuff. It'd been sitting there so long. They say, "Oh, I go to a church." I said, "Where do you go to church?" They give me a name of a pastor. I knew who he was before I asked him. It wasn't the same pastor. Or they said, his name's, and I told them what his name was. You see, I believe they were born again at one time. I believe they were saved. I believe they got an attitude. They let down. They quit reading the Word of God. First thing you'll do is you'll quit reading the Word of God. You know what happens next? You'll quit praying to the God of the Word. When did Christians think we were strong enough not to have to pray all the time to stay out of the devil's backyard and let him drive a stake in our front yard? Brother Sean, you think you can take on the devil that prayer? I can't. I mess up every time. If I get away from it for just one day from praying with everything making me busy, you know what happens? I start to get weak. And I guarantee you the devil drives everything he can in during that one weak spot trying to get me sideways to where I quit living with God. Right attitude, you can't walk right with God. Without the right attitude, you can't be successfully do the work of God. And you'll stop reading the Word of God, and you'll stop praying. And you know what happens? There's no prayer of faith then. How can you do anything without a prayer of faith? If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to what? Please Him. Now, I don't know. Some of you are still looking a little sour. Are you saved? You ought to be smiling. Are you walking? You ought to be smiling. Are you able to get in here? You ought to be smiling. You got a roof over your head? You ought to be smiling. You got family members that love you? You ought to be smiling. Hey, you got clothes on your back? You ought to be smiling. How many people walked here this evening? Well, if you got a car, you ought to be smiling. I remember when I didn't have none. And it is a blessing from God, amen? Amen? I really do. Your attitude decides your altitude and your spiritual walk with God. If you've got the wrong attitude, you can't do anything for God. You can't have fellowship with God. And you cannot keep the devil from driving a stake up in your property, which, by the way, belongs to God. Amen. Now, when you get to this position, Satan has now accomplished his objective. He's been successful. Folks, our attitude's important. Amen. Simple message, but our attitude is important. Now that I've told you how important it is, and how many people agree with me it's important? Amen. So everybody does, right? Well, we need to know how to keep the devil from helping us get a bad attitude, don't we? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, I believe Pastor loves this one, says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We must give Jesus Christ preeminence in our lives.
Amen.
If He don't have control of all of you, He really don't have control of any of you. He's got to be in the very center of your life. He has to be the most important thing in it. He has to be the most important thing, what He thinks about it. He has to be the most important thing you have. I love my wife. I do, and my children. But I love Jesus Christ more. You say, Brother Tom, you shouldn't be that way. No, you should. He gave them to me. He blessed me with that. Look at that road. If I could have got the rest of them in here, we'd have filled up another one. But I still love him more than them. Now, if we know how to keep him from driving up a stake in our backyard, we've got to stay with Christ. He's got to be preeminent. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. Now watch the rest of that. The Lord. He's just not a person. He's not just a Savior. He's the Lord.
Amen.
We belong to him.
Amen.
He created us.
Right.
He loves us.
Amen.
He died for us.
Amen.
He sits at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. And one day soon, guess what? God will say, go get your bride, and we're going to hear a shout and meet him in the air.
Amen.
Some people don't believe that, but I'm looking for the shout.
Amen.
I tell you what, we're going to, Brother Bear, you shot pistols. We're going to head up through the air faster and we can measure the speed of a bullet. Some people are going to be going like this. Some people will be going like, it really happened. Yes, it did, because the Bible said it would. If you want to keep from having a bad attitude, if you want to have a relationship with Christ, if you want to have a church where everybody loves each other, if you want to have power in this church, if you want to have revival in this church, if you want to finish well, well done, my good and faithful servant, then you've got to make sure your attitude is right.
Amen.
And your attitude's only right when he has preeminence and you're close to him.
Amen.
The only time. You can't do it on your own. Comes down to this. We are rooted in him. Either we are or we aren't. I want to be rooted in it.
Amen.
We're alive in him. You know why you see so many dead acting Christians? They ain't in him enough. They visit him once in a while. They invite him in for a little time. But we do not visit him enough. We don't have him in our lives enough. We're grounded in him. Without him, you'll float off and believe anything and everything, and the devil will whip you and drop his stake up and destroy your life and the life of your family.
Amen.
Our Christian walk is by him, for him, to him, through him, and because of him.
Amen.
You take him out of it, we're done.
Amen.
We'll hang our heads with shame when we do get to see him face to face. Hey folks, our attitude, our life, our walk, our worship, our strength, our contentment, our hope, our joy, our happiness, it's all in him, and his name's Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question now. After hearing all this, don't you think it'd be wise for us to stay close to him?
Amen.
Don't you think it is? Then bury your nose in this book. Wire your knees out, and if you can't do that, then get some calluses on your backside as you sit and pray. But pray and pray.
Amen.
And pray and lift up the church and lift up the people of God and ask God, say, help me finish this. And don't get that attitude where you look like you're the most miserable person in the world. He's from Australia. Well, if they all smile like you, they must be some people that's grounded in Christ. I like that. Amen. Amen. Folks, it's just a simple message. I just want you to know it's attitude. You like it when one of your kids gives you an attitude? I go from I don't want it. God don't want it either. Your attitude decides your altitude. It decides whether you can worship God and work for God and walk with God and have the joys of God in your life. Won't you just get rid of the stinking attitudes we sometimes get over little things and get serious with it? I mean, I don't know how close we are. I can't see how it'd be more than maybe two spiritual steps. I don't know. I'm not predicting the time. But I believe we're soon to see him. What do you think would happen if a whole church got the right attitude? Got in that word, said, "It's you, Lord. It's all about you. Help us finish this thing." What do you think that this many people could do about reaching the lost and pointing people to Christ?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to pray with you now, but I got checked out during that. I've had some bad attitudes at times. I have. I've got under the juniper tree. I've got mad at people at times. You know what happened? Most of them didn't even know it. I lost my walk with God during that time. Till he said, "Hey, what are you upset about?" He said, "I'm with you." He said, "Keep your eyes on me. You won't mind how they look at you, what they say to you, how they behave. I just want to finish it, and I want to see God's people finish it." But you know what? We got to get some healthy attitudes. And it's not just on Sunday. We're going to either have good attitudes Monday, yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And if we try to get back here and have it on Sunday, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right? All right. Let's try to finish this. How many people wants to finish it well?
Amen.
You think you'll let the Lord give you a little attitude adjustment? That's what I needed. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message tonight, Lord. I know it was simple. And God, I don't know that I got it across in the right way, but God, we sometimes just have bad attitudes, and the devil comes, Lord, and he drives the stake up, and he gets a stronghold, and before you know it, there's people, God, that's just not walking with you anymore. We would see your Son lifted high and glorified in every life here tonight. And we're careful, Lord, to give you the thanks and the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.